Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz, welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we roll into the first weekend, the first full weekend of December for 2013, and really a major shift in focus. Even though we've got plenty of late season hunting opportunities that are open, a lot of interest, a lot of talk, a lot of chatter and discussion about wintertime activities, from predator hunting, predator trapping, fisher season, muskrats, coyotes, ice fishing, spear fishing opened up on December 1st. If you've ever given spear fishing a try, you're quite frankly better off in the early part of the season, assuming you've got safe ice, assuming you've got safe ice conditions, because you don't have as thick of ice to chop through and to cut through and to get through, which is why a lot of spearers enjoy the earlier part of the season. And you can tell what you've got for water clarity, which is very important. If you can't see the fish, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter how many pike are in there. You got to be able to see them to spear them. So a lot of stuff to talk about. Our first guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live is Dave Bonneman, a special agent with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And we also still have some hunting opportunities with upland game season going until January 5th. And North Dakota having more national wildlife refuges than any other state in the union. And when deer season closed down, some of the other refuges opened up for some pheasant hunting. And it might be something getting closer to the holidays where they haven't had as much pressure on those refuge lands as other places have been open since October for upland game hunting. And Dave, so it's really kind of a unique opportunity hunting a national wildlife.
There's only a small handful that will allow that. So, you know, if people are looking to get out to hunt on some of the refuges, you know, the big advice that I have is to actually go to those headquarters of those refuges and find out, you know, what species are allowed to be hunted on the refuges. None of the refuges allow migratory birds, you know, geese and ducks and things like that. But for our upland birds and stuff, a lot of them are opening up for those. You know, the refuges have a specific mission, and most of those are to provide resting areas for waterfowl. However, we do manage the rest of the wildlife that is on those refuges, and part of our management strategy is to allow hunting for those species.
So it is not a blanket of refuges. It's not like hunters can just go out to a national wildlife refuge. Different species, different locations, very unique, and as you mentioned, it's about checking with the refuge and finding out what is available, what is legal for hunting on that particular refuge.
Turkey, some of them allow turkey, some of them don't, just depending on obviously populations and the management practices on the refuge.
Now realistically, expectations of hunters driving out ahead of time and looking things over, if somebody's never been to Long Lake National Wildlife Refuge, Arrowwood National Wildlife Refuge, north of Jamestown, Long Lake, near Moffett, with all the listeners and all the hunters in the Red River Valley, the World Wide Web might be a better spot for them to get a little first feel.
Absolutely. You know, www.fws.gov will get you to the Fish and Wildlife Service web page, and then from there you can go to specific refuges and look up their hunting programs there if you need to, or you can call those refuges directly.
Special Agent David Bonham is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. That's our federal counterpart. I work for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Dave works for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There's a distinct difference. State Game and Fish, Federal Fish and Wildlife Service, Federal WPAs, waterfowl production areas, the green and white signs, National Wildlife Refuges, the blue and white signs, State Game and Fish, the wildlife management areas. It's interesting to dig into that. The wildlife management areas, the yellow and the black signs, paid for oftentimes through your state licensing fees, your small game license. Waterfowl production areas, bought with duck stamp dollars. When it comes to hunting national wildlife refuges, David Bonham with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, there's different restrictions on what you can or can't carry and can do?
They do. We have specific regulations for each refuge. Most of the refuges are general in their nature of regulations, like non-toxic shot. You know, if you're hunting upland birds on there, all of the refuges require non-toxic shot. But some of them do have specific regulations governing access to the refuge. Some of them have designated parking areas, and then you have to walk in. You're not allowed to be hunting from roads and things like that. But some of them have other specific regulations just for those refuges.
David Bonham with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service talking about late season refuge hunting opportunities. Upland game, pheasants, grouse, partridge, probably the biggest opportunities that are available. Look beyond just what we're discussing right here and right now. Part of my purpose, part of what I'm trying to pass along to you is if you really take some time and dig into what we have right here in North Dakota, you can really expand your horizons and expand your opportunities. So often, and myself included, so often we are ingrained into going to the exact same place, the exact same times, and we might drive by three or four different spots along the way that may have provided some opportunities. We could be talking about fishing. We could talk about hunting, deer hunting or pheasant hunting or even fishing. Sometimes a lot of things in life are missed that are right underneath their own nose. And one parallel example that I've used is how many people listening have ever swung through Bonanzaville? And I had never been to Bonanzaville until about 5 or 6 years ago. Now I love the place. I lived in Botno, and I never really spent any time in the Peace Gardens. Talk to people that may work at West Yellowstone, and they've never been through Yellowstone. It's a phenomenon of human nature, and if you get outside it and visit Clawson Springs, what a fun little spot to take the family. Little Yellowstone, Golden Lake, Brewer Lake. Jot those down, search them on the World Wide Web. You might find yourself another hot spot to hit now or in 2014. More with David Bonham with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service when we return. It's the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. David Bonham is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, a special agent, the law enforcement officer, with our federal counterpart. And as I explained earlier in the program, if you missed it, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, State Game and Fish Department, similar to where you're going to have federal law enforcement, state law enforcement. There's definitely a separation when you talk about that, but we have the same hunters and anglers that want to utilize similar activities. So we welcome David Bonham to the program talking about hunting national wildlife refuges, which some are open for upland game hunting and other activities, but it's very specific. And as an example, you take Audubon Refuge. Audubon National Wildlife Refuge has some parking areas and some vehicle trails that have special restrictions, like you can't use the vehicle trails during hunting season.
That is correct. You know, Audubon specifically has designated parking areas that you have to park in and then walk in access from there. You're not allowed to hunt from that roadway. You know, some refuges have some trails, but generally it's just, you know, just walking out through the field. You make your own, you know, and just like hunting any of the other open areas of the state, really. Go out and find a good habitat that you can expect to find some pheasants or whatever you're after, and go to it.
Hunting some of the national wildlife refuges, I know to some of our listeners that might be, whoa, hunting national wildlife refuges? Listeners that aren't hunters or might not be familiar with what we're talking about, David Bonham, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, because national wildlife refuges, for the most part, what we're talking about in North Dakota, primarily serve a purpose of migratory waterfowl species. Ducks, geese, and those are off limits. But compatible use is the terminology that's used, which allows limited activities for deer hunting in some spots at some time. Some places you might need a particular tag. Some other refuges might be open if you have a tag for a particular national wildlife refuge. Again, those are unique scenarios as well, but Upland Game providing even more opportunities. David, what kind of a license? Do they need a special permit or license for Upland Game we're talking about here?
They do not. Just your state license that's required by the State Game and Fish. And the general regulations for the State Game and Fish are always followed, obviously.
Sure.
But then you'll just have those. Okay. The special rings. Most of the dates on the refuges just follow the state regulation dates. And so the deer seasons will follow the state regulation season dates that have been set. Pheasants and upland birds follow. They start on the refuges the Monday after the deer gun season closes.
Okay.
And then we'll continue through the rest of the season that are set by the state.
Appreciate David Bonham with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service joining us on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Really, the point beyond that is the fact of the matter that there's a lot of opportunities in different places and different spaces, and you may have driven by some of these national wildlife refuges and not realized that there are late season upland game opportunities. Arrowwood, north of Jamestown. Audubon in the Garrison area. Del Lacs, J. Clark Salyer, in the northwest. When I talk about Del Lacs, I'm talking about Foxholm area. J. Clark Salyer would be the Upham, depending on where you're from. Long Lake Refuge is near Moffitt. Lostwood is north of Stanley. Tewaukin Refuge, if you're looking for something closer to home, is pheasants only in our backyard down by Cayuga. Now, again, as David mentioned, your state small game regulations apply. And upland game, pheasant, sharp-tailed grouse, partridge, rough grouse, all those seasons statewide, those close on January 5th. On January 5th is when those wrap up. Check ahead and get some of the details. Maybe even not this year, maybe for next year as well. I also bring it up because we might have listeners that have some friends or family that are traveling back home for the holidays, maybe taking 2 or 3 weeks off, taking some time off, and visiting friends and family, and you might not hunt or fish. Here's some very, very unique opportunities. Think of somebody that grew up in North Dakota and has been gone for 25 or 30 years, and they're thinking, you know what, I'd love to get back into, try some hunting. And I grew up in the Cayuga area, and I'd seen Tewaukin Refuge all my life, and those are off limits, almost a sanctuary. And you come back 20 years later, 25 years later, and you've got an opportunity to go out there and do some pheasant hunting, might really be a memory-making experience. Might be making a few memories if you get a chance to do that. I mentioned as well, our spearfishing season is open in North Dakota. Our spearfishing season opened up December 1st. Opened up December 1st in North Dakota. Now, if you are interested in spearfishing, you don't need a special license to spearfish in North Dakota. You do need to have a number. It's a registration number so that we can survey how many people went spearing, where did they spear, how much time did they spear, and the only places that you can't spearfish are Braun Lake in Logan County, Hecker's Lake in Sheridan County, the McCluskey Canal, New John's Lake. Think of places that have muskies. You can't legally spear on the Red and the Bois de Sioux Rivers. Red Willow Lake near Binford and Griggs County, Sweetbriar Dam. Those are the places that you cannot spearfish in North Dakota. Other than that, December 1st through March 15th, northern pike and non-game species are open and legal. Now, you do need to have a fishing license if you're over the age of 16. If you're under the age of 16, just register. Just register, put that number down, and you're set and you are legal to go spearfishing in North Dakota. I also know that some of our friends in Minnesota are thinking it's sled time. It's sled time. A message from the Minnesota DNR on legal, safe snowmobile operation.
Take the pledge to become a safe snowmobile driver. Hi, this is DNR Conservation Officer Leland Owens. Whether you drive an old sled or a brand new one, I want you to join me in being a safe and responsible snowmobile driver. Minnesota law requires residents born after 1976 to successfully complete a snowmobile safety training course before operating a snowmobile. Take the training and ride in a responsible and legal manner. Ride safe, ride smart, always.
Appreciate the Minnesota DNR for their input, because safety is not just about ice fishing and about deer hunting. When you look at the, boy, you talk about the heritage that deer hunting and ice fishing are, spear fishing, snow machines, Minnesota, yep, that's definitely a heritage. Stay safe out there as well. You're listening to the Weekend Edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the Weekend Edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. Just ahead, we're going to be connecting with Pat Stockdale to bring you a Central Dakota Outdoors report. She joins us each week and gives us a little taste of what's going on across the prairies of North Dakota. Contrary to what you might think, the hunting seasons are not done yet. In fact, when you look to it, there's some hunters that look at December as a very opportune time. Obviously, we do have pheasant hunting going on. Goes through January 5th. Archery deer season, before it got to 15 below zero, I know I had a neighbor that was heading out right ahead of the storm, see if the deer activity was going to pick up a little bit as well. So we've got some hunting opportunities that do remain there. Got Canada geese on the Missouri River system as well. So it's not just simply just straight ice fishing. Spear fishing season opened up last Sunday. I should also make a mention. One thing that did change over the last week, we were to have an advisory board meeting in Cayuga. And the tough weather, when you consider that our game and fish staff, a lot of them are driving from Jamestown or from Bismarck. Bottom line is, the Cayuga advisory board meeting is going to be held on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Cayuga Community Center. Tuesday night, December 10th. If you don't know where the community center is in Cayuga and you're traveling from Fargo or Wahpeton or someplace else, don't worry. You'll find it. Just look for the place with a bunch of pickup trucks parked in and around it, and that will be where the advisory board meeting. Prior to that, at 6 o'clock, there's going to be an open house for Louis Gockler as he has been inducted into the North Dakota Fishing Hall of Fame. So swing on by, wish Louis, and there's going to be a lot of other great guys and gals joining together at 6 p.m. prior to the advisory board meeting starting as well. It's also the time of year to start planning for 2014, not just simply when does deer season open up, but planning for 2014 if you or someone you know is going to need to be taking a hunter education class. Those classes begin taking in earnest usually around January, February, March through April, May is when I tell people, if you need hunter safety, that's when you need to get signed up. And you get signed up on the Game and Fish Department website is where you get your youngster or yourself if you're going to be hunting in another state like Colorado or Alaska, someplace else that might have more stringent requirements. In North Dakota, if you're born after December 31st, 1961, then you need to have taken and passed a hunter education course prior to hunting. We do have an apprentice option available, but if you need the hunter safety class, now is the time to do it. Inevitably, whether it's in April, May, June, or September, October, November, we get calls from people needing to get a kid into hunter safety class. When's the next class? I don't see any classes being held, or they're all full. First and foremost, if you're looking in September or October and you don't see any classes being held, take a step back and understand. These courses are taught by volunteer instructors, and they love to hunt and spend time outdoors. They volunteer their time in the winter and the spring to teach hunter education. In the fall, they go hunting. So there's very few classes, if any, that take place in the fall. You get into the springtime of the year, and I'll guarantee you that those classes are not going to fit exactly into how you want them to fit into your schedule. If you have conflicts, your son or daughter has basketball or practice or a play practice, whatever it might be, I understand there's conflicts, but it does come back to being a priority. And the hunter education, for some people, isn't the priority. And they want hunter education to change for them. And my response is, you've got to understand that these are volunteer instructors putting the course on, and it's not going to be tailored to your schedule. So plan ahead and understand that you might miss a basketball practice, a play practice. You might even miss a game. And there's some kids that would gladly miss a game to make sure that they get their hunter safety taken. And I know there's an exception to every rule, but in my discussions with people that get to fall and haven't had a hunter safety class to take, is generally speaking, there was something else that took priority. And I will also say, before I step off my soapbox and bring you Pat Stockdale, if you'd like to become a hunter education instructor, please call me or email me. You can call our Bismarck office. You can call me 281-1220, 281-1220. You can send me an email. Probably the easiest email to send it to is outdoorslive@gmail.com. Would love to have you and maybe a couple of friends become hunter education instructors. Very, very rewarding, and I don't think you would ever regret that. I'll step off the soapbox and connect with Pat Stockdale as she brings us a Central Dakota Outdoors report. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News, Dakota Country Magazine, and many other places. Very well-respected outdoors communicator, award-winning outdoors communicator. And she connects across North Dakota with anglers, bait shops, guides, and gives us a little taste of what's going on outdoors. Pat, what is cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Ice fishing is now in full swing in many areas of eastern North Dakota. Watch ice conditions, however, and never assume that it's safe. Over on Devil's Lake, ice depth varies, but anglers are walking onto the Back Bays, Pelican Lake, and Lake Irvin, where they're finding fair to good walleye and perch success. Jamestown Reservoir and small area lakes are also enjoying lots of activity, but watch driving onto the ice with pickups yet. Look for walleye and perch success on the north end of the reservoir. Anglers are also checking out the north end of Lake Ashtabula around the crossing. The perch and walleye bite was scattered across Barnes, Lemoore, Richland, Ransom, and Sargent counties prior to the storm slowing activity. Try Swedish pimples with waxworms along drop-offs and ledges that transition into deeper water. Ice is forming along the Red River edges, making shoreline fishing difficult. The Boyd to Sioux River iced over, but more cold weather is needed to make ice safe. In general, it's probably a good idea to give area rivers more time, especially with that flowing water. Farther west, the Missouri River is quiet, although a few hardy souls are shore fishing along the rocks of the Tail Race below Garrison Dam. Lake Sakakwea is quiet as well, but anglers are venturing onto the Back Bays of Lake Audubon, where they're finding walleye and some perch mixed in. Over to hunting, the recent storm and cold weather slammed down pheasant hunting activity. However, late-season pheasant hunters that are going out are finding, actually they're finding more birds showing up across southwestern Richland and Sargent counties up into Lemoore and Barnes. The best hunting is still further south and west, but at least hunters are finding some birds in the southeast. Work heavier cover in deeper sloughs and cornfield edges. The Missouri River is the focus of waterfowl hunting, where there are good Canada goose numbers along the open water of the river and Lake Sakakwea. They'll hang around as long as they can feed. And don't forget, coming up in December and early January, it's time for the annual Christmas bird counts.
Always appreciate the report from Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News, Dakota Country Magazine, and she joins us each week. She mentioned the Christmas bird counts, and even if you're not a hunter or an angler, check it out. There are Christmas bird counts taking place across the area. The Fargo-Moorhead Christmas bird count is Saturday, December 14th. Saturday, December 14th. A great group of guys and gals, Keith Corliss, Marshall Johnson from Dakota Audubon. I shouldn't try to name off the list of them all, But if you are interested in the Christmas bird count, get a hold of the Dakota Audubon office in Fargo, and they'll connect you. And if you're living someplace else, there's Christmas bird counts taking place from Valley City, the Fish Hatchery, to Long Lake National Wildlife Refuge, Devil's Lake, Grand Forks, all across the area. Hey, coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, a Minnesota Outdoors update. CJ Johnson joins us when we return. It's the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the last shot for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. In just a moment, we're going to connect with CJ Johnson and give you a Minnesota Outdoors report. If you're not familiar with CJ Johnson, if you're new to the program, CJ is a Lisbon, North Dakota native and grew up along the banks of the Cheyenne River. Spent his career, he's retired now, very active in the outdoor scene. Spent his career covering the outdoors, a little mix in some broadcast, time with Minnesota tourism, really promoting getting outdoors. You heard a few weeks ago, he was the originator of the Minnesota Governor's Deer Hunt. That was a brainstorm of CJ Johnson. And you can't argue with the hype, the interest, and the pageantry of Minnesota's fishing opener. That's, bar none, one of the biggest, if not the biggest event in Minnesota. Even if the Vikings made the Super Bowl in our lifetime, there's still a million people that go on the water, not watching other people fish, a million people actively on the water fishing on the Minnesota opener. Minnesota regularly gets over 500,000 people deer hunting. Yeah, you fill the Metrodome with 65,000 people. I know you have thousands of people that are watching Vikings, Twins, Wild, Gophers, Timberwolves, but actively participating. That's one area where hunting and fishing has spectator sports beat hands down. It's active participation. It's being a variable in the equation of the outdoors. And I absolutely love that, because you take the active participants and then look at their spouse, their kids, their husband, wives, uncles, aunts, that then are connected to the outdoors through them. Think of it in terms of, if dad watches the football game, then there's probably going to be a son or a daughter that'll wander through the basement in the living room. Mom might be casually interested in how bad the Vikings look against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. But active participants is what the outdoors is all about. It's casting, it's blasting, and not to mention the connection with the heritage that the outdoors are. So CJ Johnson definitely understands that, and also brings along the real connection to the Cheyenne Valley and the Red River Valley, because that Cheyenne River is still flowing from Cooperstown down to Valley City, past the east side of Catherine to Fort Ransom, through Lisbon back up to Kindred, West Fargo, I forgot Horace, Harwood, and it's changed a little bit, but it's still there. Whether you were 5 years old growing up along the banks of the Cheyenne River like CJ Johnson, you're 50 years old and you've spent your life there, you're 85 years old and you've seen the Cheyenne River spread across its banks and literally destroy places, but you've also seen the lifeline that the rivers of the Midwest are. Let's shift gears and get a little update from the outdoors of Minnesota. And when we check on the outdoors from Minnesota, we do call on the man that I just described, CJ Johnson, the Lisbon, North Dakota native. Maybe you didn't get to hear it, CJ, but I gave you a very generous introduction this morning on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, because you really do. You embody the spirit of the outdoors, the heritage of the Midwest, growing up in Lisbon, and your career in the outdoors in Minnesota. Because spending time outdoors in the Midwest, even when it's as cold and crummy as it has been, is still a way of life, isn't it, CJ?
Boy, it really is. And I'm glad you gave me that introduction, Doug, and not my wife. She would charge me money.
Well, how's things looking outdoors this week, my friend?
Well, not a lot of ice or open water fishing news to report. We do have a few verifiable locations right now in Minnesota. Remember, the ice is never 100% safe, so take it easy when you're going out anywhere. Way up north in Minnesota, Donnell Hilliard and Paul Nelson up there report that the lakes in the Bemidji area have been making pretty good ice so far this year. Many of the local lakes have also about a foot or more of new snow. Now, remember this, an early snow can impact the ice conditions for most of the winter, making it thinner in some places, thicker in other places, because the snow is really an insulator, too. However, Upper Red Lake is almost always the first lake to have significant ice fishing, and most of the anglers there have been catching walleyes along the shoreline break in about 6 to 8 feet of water. Anglers have been using jigging spoons tipped with a minnow head up for walleyes, and they're also using a bobber rig with a live minnow right now. It's early to tell what impact the recent snow is really having on the ice at this moment. Now, Lake Mille Lacs, folks at Terry's Boat Harbor, they're reporting most of the bays are ice-covered. About 4 inches reported in Isle Bay. Foot traffic should be an option this weekend at a lot of the shoreline areas on Lake Mille Lacs, with the exception of the shoreline. Most of the lake remains still open, but it's looking like, if you've ever looked out and seen a lake early in the winter, it looks like jello because it's moving around with the wind. That means there is some chunky ice on there, and as soon as the wind stops, that should clear up and be nice and freeze over. Now, Lake of the Woods reporting some 4 Mile Bay has 4 to 5 inches of ice. There's about 5 inches on the lake straight out from Pine Island as well. In the Morris Point area, a Lake of the Woods, there's about 6 to 7 inches on the bay, 4 to 5 inches on the lake. Zippo Bay up in Lake of the Woods also has about 5 to 7 inches. Now, if you're leery at all, and you should be when you're on ice, so when you start out, especially early in the winter, just check with the bait shop. They go out there and check it regularly for you. The only other early ice report comes from Becca Art over in Detroit Lake. She says they've got about 5 to 9 inches of ice on most of the DL lakes. Lakes with less have some slushing problems, however, so you're going to be doing some walking out there. Walleyes have been holding, however, in transition areas right now. They're down about 10 to 15 in the bright sunlight, 10 to 15 feet down, 20 to 30 feet during the daylight hours, and as it gets a little bit darker, you can go shallower again. Aggressive with jigging spoons and rattle jigs. They produce most of the fish in the DL area right now. Remember, it's always better to be safe than sorry. And ice fishing, you've not really tried it a lot, it can become very addictive. Doug, I remember a friend of mine and a couple of buddies, we've gone ice fishing every Saturday during the winter for nearly 30 years.
Mm.
And one Saturday, we were ice fishing along a highway up in the whitefish chain, and a funeral procession went by. And Ken, my friend, he laid down his rod, he stepped out of the fish house, took off his lucky hat, placed it over his heart. He stood there for quite a while because it was a long procession. It took about 5 minutes. But once it passed, Ken sat down, put his lucky hat back on, dropped his line back in the water, and needless to say, we were pretty floored at that. I finally spoke up and said, Ken, you know, that was the most respectful thing you could do when that professional went by. And he said, well, seems the least I could do, seeing I was married to the woman for nearly 40 years. Whoa, remember, fishing's always great. It's the catching we got to work on.
Oh, we got a lot of other stuff we got to work on after that one, CJ.
I hope they know I was joking.
I know. I appreciate your insight, your access, and the humor as well. CJ Johnson, thanks so much, my friend.
My pleasure.
We always appreciate those updates. CJ Johnson with a Minnesota Outdoors update, and he is a Lisbon. He's a Lisbon, North Dakota native. Well, that's going to wrap things up for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Don't forget, we are podcast at kfgo.com, and we bring an Outdoors Live update Monday through Friday at 6:20 with myself and the Big Kahuna and Tom Wynn and friends, and bring you the daily news cycle of the outdoors. A big thank you goes out to Bob Harris. He's the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Until next time, I'm Doug Lear, reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.